box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. For people
what,
who...
just okay? Do you not know what we just watched?
Listen, I usually pick the movies, let you know what they are.
Yeah, I like this newfound power. I'm digging it. I think everything's going to change. I'm going to change everything about the podcast. I'm sorry, like, you made a mistake.
I know. I couldn't come up with something, and I passed the reins over to Ward, and he made me watch The Bad Batch, which is a 2016 movie. I think it's on Netflix. Oh my gosh. I feel like this is just your revenge on me for almost a year making you watch terrible movies.
This is the best movie we've ever watched on the podcast. I mean, not that that's saying a lot, but this is actually a good movie.
No, okay, so when I was looking at reviews for this, there was overwhelming support. So you either really loved it or you really hated it.
It is that kind of movie, yeah.
And the people who loved it, I feel like I might have missed something. I don't understand why anybody had anything good to say about this movie. I am bewildered that it got good reviews. So, I don't know. Maybe you'll break it down for me and by the end of it,
tell me how many words. Give me a word number and I'll sell it to you in that many words.
One.
Cannibals!
I even have lots to say on the cannibals.
Can I hyphenate it? Bodybuilding cannibals.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, listen. It had a pretty good cast, too, which was even more surprising. It was, like, just absolutely ridiculous. So you have Aquaman himself. Keep in mind, this is 2016, so...
I consider him to be Khal Drogo, thank you.
Okay. Jason Momoa, Suki Waterhouse, Keanu Reeves, and they have a little bit of cameos from some other people, but those are kind of the big people in there.
I feel like you're underselling it without providing their character names. That really sells it.
Oh, gosh.
Jason Momoa is Miami Man. How do we know that? It's tattooed across his chest.
Yes.
Jim Carrey doesn't even speak in the role. He's just the hermit. Keanu Reeves, he's actually playing himself, the dream.
And Suki Waterhouse is Arlen, and she's the main character. Let me just read the description that it's given, because, first of all, I went into this blind. I'd never heard of this
movie. That's the best way to go into it.
I did not watch the trailer. I didn't read the description. If I had read the description, maybe that would have helped. Here it is. Arlen is abandoned in a Texas wasteland that is fenced off from civilization. While trying to navigate the unforgiving landscape, Arlen is captured by a savage band of cannibals led by the mysterious Miami Man. With her life on the line, she makes her way to the dream. As she adjusts to life in the Bad Batch, Arlen discovers that being good or bad mostly depends on who's standing next to you. That was not the movie I saw. That was way better. That 250 words was way better than the movie I saw. I beg to differ.
Well, I'm proud of my synopsis. Can I share it? I came up with this all by myself.
Oh, please. Oh, gosh. Great. Go ahead.
A run-in with a group of cannibals leaves Arlen short and arm in a leg. But that isn't the last time she'll see them.
That's way more accurate, and I love it so much. Okay. Now, I don't even know where to start with this because it was just ridiculous. Okay, Jason Momoa is the Miami Man, right? I didn't think he pulled that off very well. I thought he was French for a very long time.
Oh, boy.
His accent was so bad. I seriously could not understand. First of all, nobody even like talks for like half the movie. And then when they speak, I was so bewildered by their accents because Arlen is like Alabama Southern. And then you have Jason who's, okay, I've later find out he's from Miami, so he's Cuban.
He's Cuban. And well, being from Miami doesn't make you Cuban. He is legitimately from Cuba. I don't know if there's some weird stereotype you're jumping into there, but I just
want
to clarify.
Well, I don't know because he's not...
He says he's from Cuba.
Well, I couldn't understand a word.
And obviously, he went to Miami after that, and he became Miami Man.
His accent was so bad, I feel like they had to put Miami Man on a tattoo on his chest because nobody would have understood where he was trying to come from. That's how bad his accent was.
I didn't get French out of it, though.
Oh, I was very, very confused by it. All right, here we go.
I get this movie's divisive. I don't think they speak for, what, like, the first 45 minutes. I think that's pretty cool. Like, I get how people would not like this, how they would call it boring. I think the periods of silence, and there's a lot of them, really kind of bolster the mood of this movie, that we're in this wasteland and it is quiet.
I don't call it boring. It wasn't boring. I actually think that the movie was really good up until the point they started talking. And then it just tumbled downhill. It was like they had no idea how to keep the tension. Once Arlen and Miami Man meet, that is in my notes where things just spiral out of control. Up until that point, I was on board. I was like, okay, we're in this weird sort of fantasy reality, and she is somehow deemed as a bad person. And I don't even know if we ever figure out why. I don't even care. I was so wrapped up into it. And it's once she gets connected with him that I was like, this is stupid. I hate it. Awful movie.
Just to clarify, when she connects with him, is this the point after Momoa is hunting for his daughter? And
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I make it pretty far into the movie when I was like on board.
Yeah, you went far.
Yeah, so basically what happens is, in this movie, if you're deemed to be a bad batch person, you get a tattoo behind your ear and you get sent to the Texas border, I guess, between Texas and the U.S., I suppose, where you're giving nothing but a gallon of water and presumably a sandwich. She's eating a sandwich. I like to think that they gave her the sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're sent off into the wasteland.
Well, in this movie, like, I didn't know. I've seen this movie twice. This is the second time.
Oh,
I voluntarily watched it again.
Lord.
I like it.
Oh,
so,
that's awful.
You know, I don't know if this is an alternate reality or like, well, you know, I don't really know Texas that well. I know they're rather progressive with incarceration. Is this what they really do now? I don't know. But
you've just never been down to that area.
No, I haven't.
Texas before.
I haven't. And because I assume that this is the wasteland between, you know, past the Texas border towards Mexico. I assume that Texas is shipping all. I mean, basically, you're a bad batch, you're unfit for society. We don't know how intricate that is, like what kind of a crime you have to commit to do that. But you're bad batch. I believe Arlen is bad batch number 5044. So she's 5,000 some.
A lot of people.
This is never shown in the movie. We realize that Miami Man is somewhere in the double digits, and IMDb says he's number 88. So he was one of like the founding fathers of the apocalypse.
Huh. I'm trying to think if that helps it or doesn't help it, because he's a cannibal. I did not pick up that he's the lead cannibal. That seems ridiculous. He's just somebody who, I guess, is trying to survive. Okay, all right. So he was there first. And I guess they didn't figure out that they could eat rabbits. Or somehow they all end up making noodles and spaghetti. I don't know how that evolved.
Well, I mean, he might have just run through all those small animals and large animals. And at that point, they're not coming around.
When did they get the spaghetti? Because Keanu Reeves is cooking up spaghetti and sauce for the little girl.
All right. I will cover like some major holes in this movie. I've watched it twice. I still don't figure it out. I don't know. Like, there's people digging through trash. Where does the trash come from? Yeah. I don't know. Where do they get electricity to power the dream's rave? Couldn't tell you. Where does the dream get anything he gets? Couldn't tell you. All right, there's a lot of questions of like the infrastructure of this movie, how it works. I do not know. I mean, because the dream, he says he's built a drug empire, but I don't know who he's selling these drugs to. I mean, maybe he's shipping them across the line. I don't know. The movie doesn't care about infrastructure.
No, they really don't. Okay.
I think that's fine. I mean, because this movie, it's... At times it's so sparse, you think, well, obviously this is a metaphor for something that I just don't get. But upon the second time, like, I kind of get where this is going, and I like it.
I don't know about that.
I got it, man.
All right, so when they drop Arlen off, she goes out into the desert area, and she finds an abandoned car, and she sits in it, and she does her lipstick because that's a priority. And then this is when we first see the cannibals start chasing after her, and they catch her and they take her away to what looks like just like a wasteland of airplanes. And this is when we learn that how people eat in this new world.
Well, I like that, you know, in this world we dump old airplanes are no good and people are no good, we dump them all in the same place.
Yeah, there we go. But they're cannibals, so that's how they get their food. They keep people alive, and they start cutting off their limbs. And poor Arlen loses an arm and a leg, which is very unfortunate for her. It's on the same side. Like, she uses the same side arm and a leg. She's not, like, wobbly, you know? So that's something.
So you're saying they were kind in their own little way.
I mean, you know. We see a bunch of muscle men in Speedos. Sure, why not? I don't know how they got Speedos. I don't know if that was part of their personal belongings that they took over. But we see a bunch of muscle men in Speedos. And Arlen, we find out, is very resourceful. And she is going to break free. She's going to be one of the food. And basically what they're setting it up for is you're either a muscle man and muscle woman, or you're food. It's one or the other. And she just doesn't have the body to pull off the cannibal look.
So I mean, that is analogous to the real world, though. I mean, in life, we're either muscle men or we're food.
Muscle men and Speedos are food.
Yeah, yes. For sure. Well, I mean, yeah, I always wondered at first, is this some kind of commentary on border control, incarceration, or both? Because, you know, plenty of people say, oh, yeah, criminals, we should just dump them in the desert, let them fend for themselves. And this movie does that and shows that you know, it depends on how you, I guess it depends on how you value life as to whether this is a good idea or not, too. I would say not a good idea.
No. I think that the summary I read tried to have a point to the movie being that, you know, whether someone's good or bad just sort of depends on the situation and, you know, who your friends are and what you make of a situation. But I did not get that watching the movie. I didn't get any lesson watching this movie. There was no point to it. They failed on so many accounts to make this any sort of meaningful. It was just like a weird, not like post-apocalyptic, but it was like a weird sort of fantasy scape. And that was it.
Well, you know, no, I mean, I think you're right, though. It is post-apocalyptic. This kind of fits all the metrics of a typical post-apocalyptic movie with we just don't see the inciting event that, in essence, right over the fence, life is normal.
Life is normal.
But you know, I think the interesting thing about this, and this is not something you necessarily get watching the movie, is that if Miami Man was one of the first 100, he presumably set up the cannibal camp. He put that into motion. But, you know, for a lot of this movie, he seems good within the context comparatively with everybody else.
Well, here's the thing. They gave him a daughter, and that's the reason we're supposed to like him, because he has a daughter. And supposedly, everything he's ever done is for her. So, I guess, I mean, I didn't pick up that he was one of the original founders, so that kind of opens my eyes to a few things. So, I'm assuming that he had his daughter there in this wasteland. Like, she was born and raised there. Like, that's what we're going for. So, everything he's doing is to try to keep her alive. But that doesn't make me like him anymore, because there are animals and there are ways to survive. And when we see Arlen go to this safe base over there where people are eating noodles from vending trucks or whatever, there's clearly another way to live. So I never liked him. I couldn't understand him half the time. There was no sympathy for me, like from me for him, despite the fact that he had a daughter. I just think they failed on setting up basic characters in this movie.
I mean, I didn't get that he would do anything to protect his daughter. It's like, that's his daughter. He's getting her back. And the whole reason he's even labeled Bad Batch is he immigrated from Cuba, or illegally immigrated from Cuba.
Well, we
and
don't...
So, yeah, he says that. He says the only reason he's Bad Batch...
I don't understand a word he said.
He said the only reason he was labeled Bad Batch is that he came from Cuba. He illegally immigrated from Cuba, and that's why he's Bad Batch. So in essence, he's not a bad guy. He did some bad things to survive. But the trade-off, you know, you're saying that people live better at comfort with the dream. The trade-off there is you have to give him all your women, and no matter what age.
No? Well, okay, that was not made clear either. So this other weird dystopia world that's going on there behind all of those shipping crates is the safety of there. And I guess the dream is kind of like the president. So Keanu Reeves is ruling it. And yes, there are a bunch of women. It is very much a cult. But you're suggesting that you have to join. And I don't think that that's the case at all. I think he brainwashed a lot of women to becoming his wives. But it's not like he was going out and wrestling up all the women. You know, I think that Arlen could have lived there the rest of her life and never have had a conversation with the dream if she hadn't approached him.
That's difficult to say, because the dream, he seems to like women of all ages. And I don't...
ages? He seems pretty specific about the women he likes.
Well, he took that little girl.
Oh,
and he didn't.
You're right.
He didn't ask anybody, hey, can I borrow that kid? I'll give her a better life. He straight up took her, didn't ask anybody who she belonged to.
That's true.
So my implication is that if you're a woman, the dream is going to come see you. And then, I mean, there's a lot of weird, well, I don't want to say weird, but there's a lot of interesting subtext with the dream. All his harem wear shirts that say, chase the dream, find the dream is in you, which is, yeah, a little double entendre there. And I think it's interesting because there's this whole thing of Arlen goes to the cannibals, this terrible society, comfort looks great, everybody's, they helped her, they're nice, But there's this whole thing of finding the dream, and she realizes the dream is not what it's cracked up to be. That the dream looks nice, but when you get into it, it's not necessarily better. It's a trade-off for one bad for another kind of bad.
See, look, now you are putting meaning to this movie that I am enjoying. Like, what you're saying, that makes sense to me. I just didn't get any of that by actually watching it.
Well, I mean, all the silence, you're gonna... I mean, what else am I gonna do with all the silence? I'm gonna ascribe meaning to things.
I was just enjoying the silence. I had no problem with that at all. But
this is what's cool about the movie. Arlen is chasing the dream. She gets the dream. She realizes the dream is no good. And then she goes back to Miami, man. They're going to run right off into the sunset.
He doesn't even want her at first. And then here's the thing, though. There is no happy ending. There's no sunset. What are they going to do? They can't eat people.
That's what they do.
No, they eat rabbits, apparently. Well,
that was because he didn't want to eat his daughter and felt bad about eating the cripple girl.
I don't like how this movie ends.
I mean, again, he started Cannibal Society. You think he's going to give it up? Like, where else are they going to get food? Food is scarce. That's the whole reason they're cannibals. I doubt they really want to be cannibals, but it's convenient at this point.
I think they want to, I don't know if they really, but I think that they have a choice in the matter. They clearly have a choice because Comfort is not eating humans. So there is a way to survive.
Miami Man has a daughter, though. You just want him to give up his daughter? Come on. Miami Man can't do that.
So that's it? Like, that's it? That's the whole movie? You either end up as a cannibal or you end up as a sex slave to Keanu Reeves, like, as the dream? Like, this is it?
That is boiling down very far. I think my interpretation is that you know, the dream seems great. You want to live in comfort. I mean, comfort, the very name of the town sounds great. You've got the dream. It all sounds great. But you realize there's a whole subtext there where, you know, he's basically coercing people into his place because he has plumbing. He realizes you can get people that way. And if you give them plumbing and you give them drugs, you can take their women. I mean, the dream is not a good dude. He is just a lot less obvious about how bad he is.
Okay, that's fine. I believe that. That sounds good. I'm down with that. Okay, I have to think about this movie more. I still don't really like the ending of it, but okay. Did the people, the cannibals, did they have a name? Like how we have Dream and Comfort and...
Nope, no name.
No, they didn't have a name. I was going to say that would have been an interesting metaphor too to see what they were named. But...
Hungry, hungry hippos.
Okay, great. All right, so let's get a little bit more into specifics. She is figuring out a way to get away from the cannibals. Her arm and her leg are gone.
I mean, that arm and leg thing, that is brutal. Like, it's not very graphic, but just the feeling you get, because it's rough. Because I've watched this, and I forgot they took the arm and the leg. Like, I knew they took the arm. And when I went to the leg, I was like, oh, man, that's rough. That's one of those times where, as a character, I would just give up at that point.
I would say that they do numb her. I mean, they're trying, I guess, in their own weird way to be humane about it. They do, like, give her that shot, and then she passes out, you know. So I guess they are. But
I don't know, though. Are they being humane, or is it more selfish in that, wow, I could cut this girl's arm off and hear her scream bloody murder, or I could numb her, and it makes it a lot easier for me to do my job. I'm not sure they're really on that level.
You're right. No, I actually think you're right about that, because they wear headphones and they listen to music. They listen to Ace of Base, and they pump it up as high as they can. So, how did they have Ace of Base down? What? I mean, they have airplanes, they have paint sets, they have Ace of Base, they have Speedos. This is an interesting society.
I mean, they have renewable resources somehow. And yeah, I mean, that's the one thing with this movie, my biggest gripe is I just don't understand how we get these resources. I mean, I can describe something to the Dream and his drug economy, but I still, like, he's in the middle of nowhere. Where are those drugs going? Unless we're to believe maybe there's other societies that, you know, if Arlen's number 5,000, you know, we didn't see 5,000 people. So
that's interesting.
But I'm giving this movie a lot of credit, and they didn't earn that credit. So I withdraw the credit I just gave.
Oh, okay. I was actually very interested in this other theory that more civilizations.
It is cool, but I'm not
going to
write the sequel for them. They gotta pay me if they gotta do that.
You couldn't do any worse than that. But once they go off into the sunset, maybe they find other people. I would actually feel better about them finding other people than whatever reality they're about to enter.
Yeah, but see, there's no way the people they find would be good. I mean, the Bad Batch, everything in that little Bad Batch area is gonna be bad people, just different degrees. That's cool. Because the whole thing, Arlen chased the dream, got the dream, and the dream was no good. I think that's the summary of this movie. The dream is no good.
Dream is no good. So I guess you just make the best of your situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she frees herself because she covers herself with poop. And
it's the poople defense. Tried and true. Yeah.
I mean, that's some survival skills right there. And because of that, the captor has to take her out of her chains to wash her down. And she manages to fight with just one arm and one leg to fight off. And then she uses a skateboard to just scoot herself somehow on the sand away from all the cannibals into the middle of nowhere yet again. Sure, we'll go with that. Oh,
I feel like you have a little bit of skepticism with that whole
plan. Wait,
it
just occurred to me when... Okay, so I could not recognize Jim Carrey. When I was looking this up and I was like, Jim Carrey plays the hermit? Like, who is that? I've never... Like, I couldn't even think about that. But is Jim Carrey the one that's pushing the cart the entire time? No, yeah. That can't be.
Yeah, he's the cart man. The guy that never speaks, it looks terrible, has some crazy teeth.
Oh my gosh, I did not recognize him at all. Wow.
I think that was his point. That's what was so cool. Because he doesn't even speak. And I have to imagine this might be the only role he's ever had where he doesn't speak.
That's interesting. I'll have to go back and look at a picture of him. Because I saw, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, he finds Arlen and he puts her in the cart and takes her to Comfort. And that's how Arlen gets to Comfort. And then we kind of fast forward 5 months later when she has her prosthetic arm and her prosthetic leg. And
well, isn't it just a leg? Does she have a prosthetic arm?
Oh, you're right. You're right. She just has the leg. Correct. Yes.
I mean, she got lucky that they had a leg that fit her.
Yeah. Well, she clearly like made it, you know, she kind of scrapped her way and did that like a do-it-yourself situation.
Now, I think the Dream had a mail order catalog from Sears and he sent off for it. I believe that's how it works. Like. That's why he has all this stuff. He's got a Sears catalog.
You know, and then this is when Miami Man really starts to also get his own storyline. And this is when we see that he has a daughter. And I also think they made him an artist as a way for us, again, to like him and for his character to be softened. Because he has, like, this sensitive side where he can draw pictures and see people for who they are and all of this stuff, which I thought was ridiculous.
I mean, I just have to rebut that it's there for us to like him. I think it's just there to give some context to the situation. I mean, he's still a bad dude. He does some terrible things. But it's not necessarily because he's a psychopath.
We're supposed to be rooting for him and Arlen. By the end of the movie, I feel like we are supposed to want them to get together. And we are supposed to want them to have some sort of happiness in this weird, twisted universe.
I'm not sure that's what I'm supposed to want.
I'm absolutely sure that's what you're supposed to want, because if you're looking at who's the protagonist and antagonist and who are your heroes in this, the heroes are Arlen and Miami Man. Like, these are the two people. They connect. They end up together. Like, we're supposed to be rooting for them.
They're protagonists. They're not necessary heroes. Those things aren't interchangeable.
But we are supposed to like them, I believe.
I don't know, because I didn't really like either of them.
Well, I think
I just wanted to see how things played out.
I just think that's because the movie failed.
I like the Dream. And the Dream's not a good dude, but I like him.
I mean, Keanu Reeves just kills it in everything he does, so, you know. All right, so I have lots of notes about Comfort, about the noodle vendors, about electricity, about that weird guy talking to himself, all sorts of things going on, whatever.
That weird guy talking to himself, Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes.
Who's been, like, starting a number of movies. Like, there's a big cast here.
Yeah, for sure. And she keeps leaving Comfort. And here's the thing. Up until this point, really up until we really meet Keanu Reeves and know what he's up to, I just thought she was really stupid to ever leave Comfort. Like, she got out of the cannibals by, like, the skin of her teeth, like, just barely making it. But she just leaves anytime she wants to and just wanders out into the desert, which I was just like, you know, that's incredibly dangerous for what she does. And all she has with her is a gun with a couple of bullets in it. I just didn't connect with her at all as a character.
I mean, in her defense, I would say she was thinking, if they kill me, what does it really matter? What am I giving up if I die in the desert? I just think life is so bad that, you know, best case scenario, well, you know, actually the best case and worst case scenario might be the same. You live or you die. I'm not sure which one's best and which one's worse.
Well, the dying is by getting your limbs ripped apart. I feel like living in comfort is a little bit better. But maybe that's the point.
There could be another society, though. Like, maybe there's like a Mad Maxian society out there that's just going to run her over. Who knows?
Well, Jason's daughter goes on a little bit of a trash hunting expedition.
Can I interject here? I had a thought. I just mentioned Mad Max. That's a desert world. Where do they get electricity? Maybe Bad Batch is cribbing off of however they do it.
I really don't know.
Because the fact is,
to accept it,
there's a lot of post-apocalyptic movies very few of them are really thought out. Like, I mean, I think The Road is good in that respect. I don't think anybody really has power. There's Waterworld. No, not that one. The Postman. Like, who knows how the... Oh, no, there's a waterfall there. I don't know. A lot of movies do this and don't think it out. I think if this was set in the distant future, I don't think we'd question this infrastructure. But I think the fact that it is supposedly, possibly, current day, there's just a bigger question there. And really, the movie could have done something to answer that, because that still bugs me.
Sure.
All right, now, getting back to the trash.
Okay, anyway, yeah, so
even the trash dump. Yeah. Like, obviously, this trash is new, because... with all these people, they've bound to have gone through the trash before. So the only reason they go through the trash now is that there's new trash there for new things to find. But again, well, who's dumping trash all the way out there?
Probably the new people. So if the new person comes in and the cannibals get them and they get all their junk, then they would throw all the junk in the trash heap. And then maybe they go through and look for things that they might have missed, like a mirror, for example, the woman was so entranced by.
But if they're picking up people right at the border and eating them, well, wouldn't they just go through the stuff there? Like, who's taking the trash to the trash dump? Those people are dying way before they get there.
This trash is bagged.
Who's, you know, a lot
well,
of questions are in the trash.
It is bagged, yeah. Okay, so the little girl is now obviously a pivotal part of the movie. So she goes out on this expedition, and I believe they have a golf cart or something of that sort.
Yeah, a golf cart.
So they have gasoline.
And batteries. Golf carts
and
need
batteries. That's right. And the woman breaks her ankle because she's climbing on the heaps and she sees a mirror and she tries to find it, and so she breaks her ankle. So she is no longer able to defend herself. That's the key point. And that's when Arlen stumbles upon her. Just happens to be walking at the right spot in the desert at the right time and sees her.
Sometimes fate smiles upon you.
Okay. And now it's time for revenge. She's going to get revenge on the person who ate her limbs.
Is that the person? That's not like specifically the person, but that society in general, right?
Well, I think she's pretty close to the person because she is in the same area that the Miami man is. And the Miami man is connected to the other woman who did the cutting up. So I do think that they were in the same group.
Well, yeah, definitely the same group. It's not like, oh, this person specifically cut off my leg and or ate me. But they're related to that group. So I'm just going to, you know, getting one is getting the other, right?
Sure. So she shoots her. That's really all that matters. She shoots her and
it was
the little
self-defense,
girl has no place
though.
To go. Sure. And the little girl has no place to go now. And Arlen, I kind of like this. Arlen is not all maternalistic. She doesn't really care that much. She's kind of hard into the whole situation. So I will give it kind of props for that. They didn't make her want this girl. Like, she basically is like, oh, shoot, I got this kid now. I guess I'll take her with me to comfort. But, you know, I'm not going to care for her all that well. You know, like, she's doing the least amount possible to keep this kid alive. And I like that. So she goes off. Do-do-do. She goes off back to comfort with this little girl. And then Miami man goes searching for his daughter on a moped, I believe.
Yeah,
again,
moped.
Not sure how that all came about, moped and gasoline. And he finds out that the woman has been killed and he gets mad. And so he needs to go ahead and find her. And that's when he comes across the hermit, which, again, I'm baffled that was Jim Carrey. And this scene, maybe I missed something with this scene. I don't know. This is when things just got kind of boring for me. The hermit, all he wants is a portrait, a self-portrait of himself for Jason to draw him one. And we watch in what feels like real time as this portrait unfolds. It has to be 20 minutes of Miami man drawing a portrait of the hermit.
You didn't enjoy Jim Carrey silently mugging for the paper?
Oh my gosh, it was painful. It was super duper painful. And then, meanwhile, Arlen is getting the little girl to do her makeup. Because, again, priorities.
I mean, at the same time, Arlen only has one hand, so it probably is difficult. So she probably, I would assume she just wants, you know, to forget the life she's in for a minute.
I mean, you're really kind of tearing away the layers of this onion. But I don't know. I don't know if whoever wrote this put that much thought and care into what's going on.
I mean, they had to put some thought because I've seen a lot of movies and I've seen movies that try to do stuff like this. And it's easy to make this movie absolutely craptastic. And this movie is not craptastic. I think it's got some deficiencies, but this could be a train wreck and it's not. The fact this is not a train wreck with what this movie is and what's going on is, you know, a good mark and it's a good thing.
Just a follow-up to that, where did the giant boombox come from that served as the DJ stand? Did they make that? Did that just magically appear?
The Dreams got the Sears catalog.
Really?
And he ordered from
the
Sears
LED
catalog.
Flashing lights and like the turntable? Do you think they just have turntables lying around in the wasteland of Texas?
The Dream does. The Dream's the man.
Is that what's going on? So they have their big dance party. And that's how we meet the Dream, and that's how we know that this is, like, a society where they're selling drugs, and the Dream is knocking up women. He has, like, 12 girls. I think it's, like, 15 young women who are all pregnant. All exactly pregnant the amount at the same time. They're, like, all 7 months pregnant. Like, nobody is in any sort of staggering pregnancy. They're all, like, 7 months pregnant.
Well, I'm pretty sure, you know, he gets it all at one time.
Well, I mean,
but yeah,
like,
it would be smart for him, though, to
around.
Set up a staggered situation there. Good point.
I mean, just, you know, one baby alone is like, whew, no sleep, constantly changing diapers. But like 15, I mean, that's going to be a lot of work.
Here's an interesting thought. Are there any children in Comfort?
Well, that's my question, because, I mean, Miami Man has a kid. So we know that people are procreating. I mean, you know, she's maybe not the only one. I assume that she's not the only one. I assume people have been there long enough that they're creating a society that can sustain. This is their world, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, in Comfort, I don't think there are any children in Comfort, which means, like, it's not like this is the first time the Dream, like, had an idea 7 months ago to get a bunch of women pregnant. I assume the Dream's been doing this for a while.
Yes.
So, where are the babies? Where are the children?
That's actually a good point. Unless he's, like, new to Comfort. Unless he was there only a year ago and he set up shop super quick.
No, because you know, he talks about infrastructure and plumbing. I mean, that's the one time the movie talks about infrastructure.
He did talk a lot about the toilets.
That had to take a while. I mean, it is amazing. As much as this movie avoids infrastructure, we're really getting to the plumbing issue here. And, you know, valid point. So I just... I don't know. Like, I want to describe something devious to this because there should be a bunch of little babies or toddlers or kids somewhere, and there's not. But I don't know what devious act to ascribe to that, because there's just, who knows what could be happening in this movie. But there's something there to that.
Yeah, sure. Well, while Arlen is getting all drugged up and hallucinating and things like that, the child gets lost, and Keanu Reeves finds her and takes her into his house, his palace, his little mansion.
Gives her a free T-shirt.
Gives her a T-shirt and spaghetti.
Yeah.
Yes. And takes her in. And then we now get to start to see more of also Miami Man trying to find her. And Arlen goes out again. She leaves Comfort again. This girl driving me berserko. She keeps leaving Comfort and getting into trouble. So she leaves again. And this is when she meets up with Miami Man. And this is their first, like, scenes together, you know? And he doesn't know that she has taken the kid, but she admits to knowing that the kid is in Comfort, and she is now has to help him get the kid back. And I think that she's actually feeling bad about it by now. Like, she has this moment where all she wants in her life is to be a part of something good, I think she says, or something bigger than herself, or to be somebody's happy ending. I don't know. But I think
she realizes that her choices in this desert wasteland are the Dream or Miami Man, and she decides to go for it with Miami Man.
Yeah, and she really has, like, this animalistic attraction to him really fast. I mean, this is a man who is eating people's limbs, and it only takes, like, what, his shirt coming off for her to be, like, right up next to him? And I guess we're supposed to believe that there's some sort of attraction. I don't know.
Well, they do share some stories. He tells her how he got to being the king of the cannibals.
I seriously did not pick up any. I should have listened on closed caption or something. In my notes, I just read, is he French? Is he from France? How is he from France and from Cuba? I don't understand. It says Miami Man because I don't understand his accent. So
I have to go back and listen to this supposed French accent now, because I did not get that at all.
No.
Is it a good Cuban accent? No, but I don't know how you get French out of it.
Oh my gosh, it was totally, totally like from Paris. Absolutely. Anyways, but he kind of proves that I guess he has some good in him. He didn't let some other guy that comes up into the desert take her away and, you know, eat her. So I guess that's good. But they do go to Comfort. Okay, in my notes, I say Jason is shot, return to Comfort, leave Comfort again, so stupid. I don't know where we are in the movie with that.
He does get shot. He is patched up by the hermit. And Arlen leaves. I don't remember exactly what I'm. I know she goes back to Comfort and then leaves Comfort again.
Oh, she takes the kid with her. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she goes out to find him, and she sees a trail of blood and no Khal Drogo.
Yeah, but she goes back to find the kid, knows that the kid is with the dream, and has to present herself to him as if she wants to be one of his sex slaves.
Which just seems like a good deal, all things considered, in this world. Really.
Who knows? I don't know. So then Keanu Reeves has his crowning moment where he has this long metaphor about how the, as he puts it, the shit gets out of Comfort and how the plumbing works. And I'm sure it's some deep something about how, I don't know, how to survive in the wasteland. Whatever. But she ends up finding the kid and kind of taking a stand against them and leaves.
But I mean, this whole dream thing, like, life is the dream. And I think that's just this interesting concept. Because the dream, in this world as we see it, the dream's the mean to survive. The means to survive. Sure. And it's like, the dream is this very successful guy. So you think, oh, man, he offers me something I can't get anywhere else because this is a wasteland. But, you know, his price, or I guess maybe the price for a self-functioning society is that, you know, you give me what I want. I mean, the dream is almost like every typical cult leader, and he even says it, not everything is fair and square. And I just love his harem. The pregnant women wear shirts that say, the dream is inside me.
Yeah.
Who's printing these shirts?
That's true. They have a printing press.
And so, like the cool thing about Arlen's whole arc is that she's basically sabotaging the life she could have in Comfort. She could live comfortably. Yeah, there's some drawbacks to that. But she's also, I don't know, I assume she's trying to right her mistakes and kind of, like, yeah, she took Mommy Man's kid indirectly, so she's trying to right that. I mean, I don't know. And maybe I'm giving her too much. Maybe she's just like, hey, this life stinks. I need something to entertain me today because life is boring. I don't know.
I don't know either. It wasn't very clear. All I know is she reunites the dad and the kid. And let me just note that the kid has had a pet rabbit the entire movie. She got to Comfort, got a pet rabbit, has been caring and loving and caressing this pet rabbit the entire movie. So she and the pet rabbit are reunited with Jason. And Arlen says, want to hang out or something? Because I guess she now wants to attach herself to these two. And he's not interested. See, this is the thing. Like, he is not initially at all down with this girl. Like, he hasn't had any sort of character involvement at all. He's ready to turn his back and go back to the cannibals and start eating people again.
I mean, maybe he just kind of like putting it off because he's thinking, man, my steak sauce is back at the ranch. I'm not interested right now. I need my steak sauce. I mean, some people put steak sauce on everything, you know, and he might just be that kind of guy.
Maybe. It just wasn't any involved. Like, there was just nothing on his part. I could maybe make the case that she has learned some sort of lesson after everything you've said, but he has not really learned anything.
I mean, did you really want him to be like, oh, wow, you helped me get my kid. Let's live happily ever after. I mean, like in these movies, you know, like the two leads, well, they get together because they're the two leads. For some reason, there's an unspoken rule they have to. And this movie's like, no, that's stupid. Like, he doesn't know why she's there.
Well, there's no reason for them to get together at all. Like, she has this weird connection to him, and I just wasn't buying it. He's not a good person. I don't want them together. I don't want them exploring the desert together. Yeah. And if my only option is being chained down and drugged and have my limbs cut off and eaten, or living in Comfort, where I could make the case you don't have to be a Keanu Reeves lady, then I would go back
to Comfort.
Ain't
nothing free.
Well, he said, I did not pick up on the fact that every single woman has to birth his baby, especially because now that you said, there's no other kids there. So if every woman had to birth a baby, there would be tons of little kids running around, which is not the case. So if she doesn't have to do that, if all she has to do is live in Comfort and keep her head down, that seems to me to be the best option.
All right,
so the fact that this ended with them,
maybe she could live in Comfort as she wishes, but I guarantee that if the dream says jump, you do not have a choice in the matter. He runs that place. I do want to back up to what you said about Khal Drogo not being a good guy. Well, the whole premise of this entire movie is that not a single person we see on screen is a good person. They are all bad batch, meaning they're unfit for society. We don't know what Arlen is. I mean, presumably every single person in this place could be a murderer. I mean, yeah. Because if we are in current day, well, I mean, the worst crime, well, not the worst. All right, let's just say everybody's murdered. Like, I don't think they stole a pack of gum. They had to do something to get kicked into the desert to die. So nobody's good in this society.
Yeah, but we're supposed to have some sort of sympathy. I mean, that's what you do when you write stories and create characters. You have to have sympathy for somebody. You have to, as an audience member, connect with somebody. And I didn't connect with any of these people.
I have a lot of sympathy for whoever tends to the plumbing pipes in Comfort. That has to be a thankless job.
Well, that I would probably go with, too. All right, at the very end, the little girl keeps saying, I want spaghetti, I want spaghetti, I'm hungry. The
other who man doesn't want spaghetti? I mean, we've been eating people forever.
I mean, take some of those noodles with you. Let's figure out the recipe for the noodles. Come on, Arlen.
Well, you think in Comfort, you think the price to pay for the dream running things is, hey, I mean, he has his way with everybody, but at least we get spaghetti out of it.
Well, the little girl just wanted her spaghetti. That's all she wanted. But I do like at the very end, like, when I was watching this, I was like, I know that rabbit's going to die. I know that rabbit's not going to make it to the end of the movie. But when Miami Man takes that rabbit out of his daughter's hands, turns around, and you just hear the snap. I was just like, oh, I knew it. I knew that rabbit wasn't going to make it. And then the poor little daughter is eating the rabbit with tears coming down her cheeks. That was amazing. That was my favorite part of the entire movie, is when the daughter is crying and eating her pet rabbit. Because, I mean, that's like, now he understands that, you know, you can eat things other than people. So maybe that will change. And then she understands that, like, we have to survive. We have to do what we need to do to survive. And Arlen, I don't know. Arlen, I just think, is a lost cause.
Well, so you think that Khal Drogo eating the rabbit is him opening his eyes to, oh, I don't need to be a cannibal? I mean, there's just no way. I mean, let's take all the animals in Comfort. They would eat through those things so fast. I think there's just human people, sad as it is, are a steady food supply for cannibal
food. They have the noodles. They have noodles. Somehow, someone figured out how to make noodles. There is a way to survive.
That is a great point, because there's an infrastructure where people are getting supplies in this world. They could be getting food. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this movie's trying to have it both ways, man. Boom. Now, gosh, it dropped a spot.
Oh, did just that one? Yeah. Is that just the one little
one
bit?
Spot. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the movie. It's the three of them sitting in the middle of the nowhere eating.
They could be eating garbage. I mean,
they could.
But then again, I guess that's not as nutritious as.
Or
people.
I mean, have you seen? Oh, wait, I don't know if you saw Us, but they eat rabbits. And the whole idea is that rabbits procreate so often and so many offspring. So, like, he could have saved that rabbit, gotten another rabbit, let the rabbits have babies, and just kept that population growing and growing and growing. And then, boom, you could have just eaten rabbits for the rest of your life. Or is there no plants at all? I mean, listen, there's so many other ways that they could have gotten nutrients. The fact that they just went straight to cannibalism seems ridiculous. And now they have to spend the rest of their lives out of Comfort fighting cannibals. It seems easier to go back to Comfort and kill Keanu Reeves' character and then let Comfort be liberated.
Eat all those people? That's what you're saying? Kill Keanu and eat all those people?
I'm just saying it would have been easier to kick Keanu Reeves out and give him to the cannibals than it is to survive outside of Comfort and have to deal with the cannibal society for the rest of the world.
Yeah, but I think if they went after the dream, you'd have a lot of upset people in Comfort. They're going to defend him because they're probably all brainwashed.
If you went after him and was like, I'll take over Comfort, I'll do everything he does, except I won't make all of your daughters come live with me in this cult fashion, I feel like they would be okay with that.
I think, but who's going to get us the spaghetti then if you kick him out? Look, I think this movie, I think it sacrifices a lot of story gears for the metaphor. There's a metaphor here. It's loose, probably looser than it should be, because you can almost subscribe anything to this movie because it is so loose narratively, and there's just some big questions about how the world functions, but I get what they're trying to do. I mean, it's this metaphor for life and living and, you know, context and circumstances and how that makes us and changes perception of us. Like, I dig all that.
All right, this movie had a budget of $6 million estimated.
Can I jump in real quick, just a fun fact?
Sure.
So there is a place called Slab City, California. And so all the village, the townspeople you see, they are locals from Slab City.
Oh, man.
They did not require any makeup or costumes.
Oh. I'm not even going to say anything about that. I'm just going to keep on going. Okay. All right. So it was estimated $6 million. Opening weekend in the U.S., okay, with all these star-studded people in this movie, 2016, it made $89,111.
Well, it couldn't have been a wide release. I'm surprised this even...
It was a limited release. The gross U.S. Total was around $177,000.
What was the budget? Do you have that information?
It was $6 million, estimated.
I mean, for the number of people in this and what this movie is, $6 million is kind of surprising.
The entire film was filmed in extreme locations and primarily outdoors in heat, no soundstage. It was shot in 28 days. I feel like that's not super surprising. It did get some nominations for like some indie-type movies. This is, like you said, Jim Carrey's first role that he did not speak at all. Let's see. Much of the filming was done, it said, in Bombay Beach, California, which is technically still part of Nyland, California. And many of the locals were cast, like you said. Yep. So there you go. That is this movie that we watched. I don't think I'm going to let you pick another movie for a while. I have some in mind already for our next one so that I don't have to resort to any more of these.
Yeah, this was better than a lot of what we watched. You
sure,
have to admit
it was.
That.
Like I said, I was down for about half of the movie and then I spiraled out of control. So, and then it is billed as a drama, horror, sci-fi, romance, dark comedy. So it really hits
all the genres. Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else to say about this?
We've covered it. I mean, it is what it is. It's this. It's. I don't want to say visionary is a strong word, but I will say that the director / writer, who's the same person, like they had a vision for this. I mean, they were trying to do something, and it'd just be nice if it was a little bit clearer exactly what they wanted. And yeah, you know, because I hate when a movie sacrifices logic for, well, I got to make a point.
I just have to say that the plot keywords in order of like importance: cannibal, dystopia, amputation, exile, bodybuilder.
Sounds about right, yeah.
All right, Ward, if people want to find you, where can they find you at?
I have a podcast other than this one, surprise, surprise.
You're plugging your other podcast on this podcast. I don't know if that should be allowed.
It's cross-promotion, man.
I feel like it's
promotion.
Rude. All right, go ahead. Do it.
The audiences don't intersect. My other podcast.
Yeah, you have an audience. This one does not.
Yeah, it's just me talking about whatever I think.
Can you plug this on your podcast and your other podcast so maybe people will come over and listen?
Oh, you know, I will. I will do that. I've actually never thought of that.
Ward, come on, Ward.
You know, no. I'm sure I've plugged on there because when this podcast formed, I would have talked about it because on my other podcast, I talk about whatever's on my mind. So it's bound to have happened. Not lately, though, so we'll give a little update.
All right, what's your podcast? Tell everyone.
FridaysOnTheFly.com.
Okay, perfect. And you can find me at NicoBellFiction.com. You can find us at BoxOfficeRefund.com and on Twitter, Instagram at BoxOfficeRefund. All right, guys, thanks for trudging through this monstrosity with us. We'll be back.
This is a fun little romp.
With more awesome movies next week. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Box Office Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.